A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, tier 6 of his deep inventory series, and this time we're on cutting consumables. Every replaceable blade and cutting disc you'd want for household DIY, furniture modification, cable management, light woodworking, metalwork, plastic, drywall, flooring, general repair. He wants a bill of materials, safety guidance, the whole thing. And he specifically says, do not wander off into drill bits or sanding or adhesives.
Which is actually a huge category once you start listing it. Utility blades, snap-off blades, hook blades, scraper blades, hacksaw, junior hacksaw, jigsaw, reciprocating saw, oscillating multi-tool, rotary discs, angle grinder discs, circular saw blades where they make sense, metal cutting, wood cutting, plastic and laminate, fine tooth, coarse demolition, flush cut, carbide grit, diamond for tile and masonry, deburring blades, pipe cutter wheels, shear blades. That's the map.
For each one, he wants to know what material it's for, what tool system it fits, whether it belongs in the general home inventory, or only after you buy the tool, which styles are genuinely different, versus duplication, whether assortment kits make sense, what to stock in quantity, how many spares are reasonable, how to spot a dull or unsafe blade, whether marketplace cheap blades are acceptable, and where bad heat treatment or weak bonding creates actual safety risk.
Plus storage, labeling, and a disposal system. And then specific deep dives on jigsaw blades and oscillating multi-tool blades, because those two categories confuse everyone.
For grinder and rotary discs, safety is not optional. He wants the side-loading warning, the cracked disc warning, the guard and eye protection lecture. Why unknown ultra-cheap discs are not a sensible economy. The difference between bonded abrasive and diamond. Disc thickness for cutting versus grinding. And why the rated RPM must exceed the tool speed.
Let's start with the simplest and work up to the dangerous. Utility knife blades. These are the highest turnover cutting consumable in any home. Standard trapezoid blades, the kind that fit virtually every retractable utility knife. They cut cardboard, plastic packaging, drywall, carpet, roofing felt, vinyl flooring, thin leather, rope, twine.
They're so cheap that running a dull one is just self-punishment. A pack of 50 standard blades from a reputable brand is maybe $8 to $12.
And here's the thing about utility blades. The metallurgy actually matters. Cheap, no-name blades are often stamped from low-carbon steel that rolls an edge after 3 cuts in corrugated cardboard. You feel it start to drag, you push harder, the blade skips, and now you've got a laceration. A good blade. Stanley, Irwin, Lennox, Ulfa is high-carbon steel with proper heat treatment. It holds an edge longer and fails predictably rather than catastrophically.
How many should Daniel stock?
For a general home inventory, 50 standard utility blades is the floor. If you break down a lot of boxes or do regular drywall work, 100 is not excessive. They don't go bad, they take up almost no space, and the cost per blade drops significantly in bulk.
Snap-off blades?
Snap-off blades, also called segmented blades, are the long-scored blades used in snap-off knives. They're thinner than standard utility blades, typically 18 millimeters wide, and you snap off the dull tip to expose a fresh edge. They're fantastic for precision cutting where you want an always sharp point, vinyl decals, thin plastic sheet, wallpaper trimming, craft work, cutting out gaskets. The key advantage is you get something like 8 to 13 fresh tips per blade. They're more fragile. Side load a snap-off blade and it will snap where you don't want it to, possibly sending a shard flying. They're not for prying, not for heavy material, not for anything where the blade experiences lateral force. For Daniel's list, I'd say 20 heavy-duty snap-off blades. The thicker 0.5mm ones, not the ultra-thin 0.3mm craft versions. Ulfa makes the gold standard here, but even the mid-tier Japanese brands are excellent.
Hook blades and scraper blades?
Hook blades are the ones with a curved, hooked tip. They're for cutting roofing material, shingles, thick fabric, carpet, and anything where you're pulling the blade toward you through the material rather than pushing. If Daniel is doing any flooring work or roofing repair, 5 Hope Blades is plenty for a home inventory. They're a specialty item, you don't use them until you need them, and then you really need them.
Scraper blades are basically just flat-edged utility blades for a scraper handle.
They're for removing paint, adhesive residue, stickers, caulk, gasket material. They fit into a scraper tool or sometimes into a standard utility knife with a scraper mode. A pack of 10 scraper blades covers years of occasional use. Not a bulk item for most people.
Utility blades in bulk. Snap off in moderate quantity. Hook and scraper as small specialty packs.
That's the first tier sorted. Now let's move to saw blades. Hacksaw blades first. These are for cutting metal. Steel, aluminum, copper pipe, threaded rod, bolts, angle iron in a pinch. The standard hacksaw blade is 12 inches long, and it mounts under tension in a hacksaw frame. The tooth pitch is everything. For general metal cutting, you want a blade with 18 to 24 teeth per inch. For thin material, sheet metal, conduit, go up to 32 teeth per inch so at least 2 teeth are always in contact with the material. Fewer teeth on thin stock means the blade catches and snaps.
How many teeth per inch for thick bar stock?
14 to 18. Coarser teeth clear chips better in thick material. Now here's the mistake everyone makes. They buy one hacksaw blade, it dulls, and then they're stuck on a Sunday afternoon with a half-cut pipe. 5 fine-tooth hacksaw blades for metal is minimum. They're $2 each from a good brand. Buy metal blades, high-speed steel teeth, welded to a flexible alloy back, last dramatically longer than all hard blades and resist snapping. Worth the extra dollar per blade.
Junior hacksaw blades.
Junior hacksaws are the smaller 6-inch frames. The blades are thinner, shorter, and great for cutting in tight spaces, thin rod, small brackets, plastic pipe, dowel. They're also what you hand to someone who needs to cut a bolt in an awkward location. A pack of 10 junior hacksaw blades covers you for years. They're cheap. No reason to run dull ones.
Now we get into power tool blades, which is where the compatibility questions start.
And Daniel specifically asked about jigsaw blades, so let's go deep. Jigsaw blades come in 2 mounting systems, T-Shank and U-Shank. T-Shank is the modern standard. Almost every jigsaw sold in the last 20 years uses T-Shank, which is tool-free insertion and ejection. U-Shank is the older system with a screw clamp. If you have an older jigsaw, check which one you have before buying anything. If you're buying a jigsaw today, it'll be T-Shank.
The mounting system is the first compatibility gate.
Then you match the blade to the material. Wood cutting blades are the most common. They have large, deep gullets between the teeth to clear sawdust. They're for softwood, hardwood, plywood, MDF. Coarse tooth pitch, typically 6 to 10 teeth per inch for fast rough cuts. Fine tooth pitch, 10 to 20 teeth per inch for smoother cuts. Clean cut wood blades have teeth that are ground on both sides, producing a smoother edge with less tear out. They cut slower but leave a better finish.
Reverse tooth laminate blades?
These are brilliant. The teeth point downward on the downstroke, which means the cutting happens on the downstroke rather than the upstroke. On laminate, melamine, or veneered plywood, a standard upcutting blade will splinter the top surface. A reverse tooth blade cuts cleanly on the visible face. Some blades are dual cut, teeth pointing both directions, which gives a clean cut on both sides. For Daniel's inventory, 3 clean-cut laminate blades and 3 reverse tooth blades covers occasional furniture modification and shelving work.
Metal blades for the jigsaw?
Much finer teeth, 21 to 24 teeth per inch, and made of high-speed steel or bimetal. They cut sheet steel, aluminum, copper, thin stainless. The key with jigsaw metal blades is to run the saw at a slower speed and use cutting oil. Heat kills these blades fast. 3 to 5 metal blades is reasonable for a home inventory. Plastic cutting jigsaw blades have a unique tooth geometry. The teeth are more like small scoops that prevent melting. If you run a wood blade through acrylic or polycarbonate at high speed, the friction melts the plastic, which then re-solidifies behind the blade and welds the cut shut. Plastic blades clear the chip without generating enough heat to melt. They also work on PVC pipe and plastic sheet. 3 plastic blades covers most home needs.
What about straight cut versus scroll cut?
Straight cut blades are wider, which resists bending and keeps the cut perpendicular to the surface. Scroll cut blades are narrower, which lets you cut tight curves. If you're cutting out a sink opening in a countertop, you want a scroll blade. If you're cutting a straight line in plywood, use a straight cut blade for accuracy. General home inventory, 3 scroll blades for curved work, 5 straight cut wood blades for everything else.
The assortment kits, are they useful for jigsaw blades?
They're actually one of the few categories where a mixed kit makes sense. A 20-piece jigsaw blade kit with wood, metal, and laminate blades gives you coverage across materials without committing to bulk quantities of blades you might use twice a year. The caveat is brand. A Bosch or DeWalt assortment is useful. A no-name marketplace kit where the blades are stamped for mystery steel, those dull in seconds and wander off the cut line.
Reciprocating saw blades next.
Reciprocating saw blades, or recipe blades, are the demolition workhorse. They're the long blades that go in a sawzall or any recipe saw. They cut through wood with nails, drywall, plastic pipe, metal pipe, tree branches, basically anything you can jam the shoe against. Blade length ranges from 6 inches for tight spaces to 12 inches for deep cuts. Tooth pitch ranges from 6 teeth per inch for demolition and rough wood to 18 for metal.
This is where demolition versus clean cut really matters.
A coarse demolition blade, 6 teeth per inch, thick body, will tear through a stud wall with nails in seconds. It will also leave a ragged, splintered edge that looks terrible. A fine tooth blade at 14 teeth per inch cuts slower but leaves a much cleaner edge. Daniel's mistake list includes using a demolition blade where a clean finish is required, and vice versa. Using a fine blade for demolition just burns up the blade.
How many recipe blades for a home inventory?
5 demolition blades, 3 fine wood blades, 3 metal cutting blades. The metal cutting blades are bimetal and have very fine teeth, 18 to 24 teeth per inch. They're for cutting through pipes, conduit, and occasionally a seized bolt. If you don't own a recipe saw yet, don't buy blades. These are tool-specific.
Oscillating multi-tool blades. Daniel wants a deep dive here.
The oscillating multi-tool is the most versatile cutting tool in the house, and the blade ecosystem is enormous. The tool oscillates the blade through a very small arc, typically 3 to 5 degrees, at high frequency, which lets it make plunge cuts, flush cuts, and cuts in impossibly tight spaces.
The mounting system.
This is the first thing to check. Bosch Starlock, Starlock Plus, Starlock Max, these are the proprietary Bosch system used by many manufacturers. Then there's the older OIS system, which is an open standard with a 12-point star pattern. And then there are manufacturer-specific mounts from Fine, Makita, and others. Universal fit blades that claim to work with everything exist, but they're a compromise. They fit loosely on some tools, which introduces vibration and reduces control. If you own a multi-tool, buy blades that match your specific mount. Don't guess.
The universal fit promise is mostly marketing.
For blades that spin at 20,000 oscillations per minute, a loose fit is not just annoying, it's a control hazard. Now, blade types. Wood-only blades are the cheapest and most common. They're high-carbon steel with large teeth for fast cutting in softwood, drywall, and plastic. They dull quickly in hardwood and are useless on metal. Bimetal blades have high-speed steel teeth welded to a flexible steel body. They last far longer, cut harder materials, and resist breaking. For general home use, bimetal is the sweet spot. Carbide tip blades are the premium option. The cutting edge is tungsten carbide grit or carbide teeth. They cut through materials that destroy standard blades, fiberglass, cement board, plaster, hardened screws, even tile with the right blade. They cost 3 to 4 times as much as bimetal, but for specific jobs like cutting out a section of tile or trimming cement board, they're indispensable. 3 carbide blades in the inventory covers those rare but difficult jobs.
Metal cutting blades for the multi-tool.
Very fine teeth, bimetal construction, designed for cutting bolts, nails, thin sheet metal, and copper pipe. They're slower than a recipe saw on thick metal, but they can cut flush against a surface where a recipe saw can't reach. 2 or 3 metal cutting blades is sufficient.
Scraper blades and grout removal blades.
Scraper blades are rigid blades with no teeth. They're for removing caulk, adhesive, paint, and stuck-on flooring. They don't cut, they scrape. Grout removal blades are carbide grit blades specifically for removing grout between tiles. If you're regrouting a shower, you need one. For general inventory, 1 scraper blade and 1 grout removal blade covers occasional use. These are buy when needed for most people. Daniel said not to expand into sanding, so I'll just note that the multi-tool takes triangular sanding pads, and that's a tier 7 topic.
Rotary tool cutting discs. These are Dremel-style discs, about an inch to an inch and a half in diameter.
This is where safety stops being optional and becomes the main topic. Rotary cutting discs are tiny bonded abrasive wheels, typically made of aluminum oxide or silicon carbide. They spin at 30,000 RPM or higher. They are brittle by design. They cut by slowly wearing away, and if you sideload them, they shatter. A shattered disc at 30,000 RPM throws fragments at high velocity. Face shield, safety glasses, and keeping your face out of the plane of the disc are non-negotiable.
The rated RPM must exceed the tool speed. What does that mean in practice?
Every disc has a maximum RPM printed on it or on the packaging. Your rotary tool has a maximum RPM in its specifications. The disc's rated RPM must be higher than the tool's maximum speed. If your Dremel spins at 35,000 RPM and the disc is rated for 20,000, that disc is a grenade. The centrifugal force at overspeed can cause the disc to fly apart even without sideloading.
The cheap marketplace discs.
This is one of the categories where cheap is hazardous. Bonded abrasive discs rely on the resin bond that holds the abrasive grains together. Cheap discs may have inconsistent bonding, voids, or cracks you can't see. A disc that fails at speed is a safety incident. Buy rotary discs from Dremel or a known abrasive manufacturer. They're not expensive enough to justify the risk.
What about the difference between the standard abrasive discs and the fiberglass reinforced ones?
The reinforced discs have a fiberglass mesh embedded in the abrasive. They're much stronger and resist shattering. For general cutting, always use reinforced discs. The plain abrasive discs are thinner and cut faster, but they're far more fragile. For a home inventory, I'd stock a pack of 20 reinforced cutting discs and skip the unreinforced ones entirely.
Diamond discs for the rotary tool?
Diamond-coated discs are metal discs with diamond grit bonded to the edge. They don't shatter. They wear down slowly. They're for cutting tile, stone, glass, and hardened steel. They're slower than abrasive discs on soft metal, but much safer and last far longer. A set of diamond discs in different diameters, say 5 discs, covers occasional tile and stonework.
Angle grinder discs. Daniel wants safety addressed explicitly.
This is the most dangerous category in the home workshop. A 4.5-inch angle grinder spins at 11,000 to 12,000 RPM. The discs are either bonded abrasive or diamond. Bonded abrasive cutting discs are about 1 millimeter thick. They're for cutting steel, rebar, bolts, sheet metal. They are not for grinding. Grinding discs are 5 to 6 millimeters thick and designed for surface removal. Using a thin cutting disc for grinding side loads the disc, and that's when they explode.
Explain side loading.
A cutting disc is designed to have force applied to its edge, the thin rim. When you use the flat face of the disc to grind, you're applying lateral pressure that the disc was never designed to take. The resin bond fails, the disc fragments, and pieces fly out at the speed of the rim, which on a 4.5-inch grinder at 12,000 RPM is about 200 miles per hour. That's why guards exist. The guard is there to deflect fragments away from your face and body. Never remove the guard. Never use a grinder without the guard in place.
Eye protection is not a suggestion.
Face shield plus safety glasses underneath. Grinder discs throw sparks, metal fragments, and abrasive dust. A single spark in the eye is an emergency room visit. The face shield catches the big stuff. The glasses catch what gets around the shield.
Cracked or expired discs.
Bonded abrasive discs have a shelf life. The resin binder absorbs moisture over time, which weakens the bond. Most discs have an expiration date printed on the metal ring in the center, typically 3 years from manufacture. A disc past its expiry may look fine, but fail at speed. If a disc has been dropped, if it has a visible crack, if it's chipped at the edge, throw it out. Do not keep a damaged disc because it still looks usable. The failure mode is catastrophic and instantaneous.
Diamond blades for the angle grinder.
Diamond blades are a steel core with diamond segments welded or sintered to the rim. They cut tile, masonry, concrete, stone. They don't shatter like bonded abrasive discs. The failure pattern is segment loss, which is still dangerous but less explosive. Diamond blades are continuous rim for clean tile cuts or segmented for faster masonry cutting. For a home inventory, one continuous rim diamond blade for tile and one segmented diamond blade for masonry covers the bases. Buy from a reputable manufacturer. The diamond concentration and segment bonding determine how well it cuts and how long it lasts.
The RPM rating applies here too.
The diamond blade's rated RPM must exceed the grinder's maximum RPM. This is stamped on every blade. Never assume a blade fits your grinder just because the arbor size matches. Check the speed rating.
What does the bill of materials look like for grinder discs?
5 115mm metal cutting discs from a reputable manufacturer. Ferd, Norton, 3M, Walter, or a known power tool brand like Makita or Bosch. These are the thin 1mm discs. 1 diamond continuous rim tile blade. 1 diamond segmented masonry blade. And 1 grinding disc, the thick one, for when you actually need to remove material. That's the minimum safe inventory if you own an angle grinder.
Circular saw blades, Daniel said, where they make sense as part of an inventory.
Circular saw blades are tool-specific consumables. If you own a circular saw, you need at least 2 blades, a general-purpose carbide tip blade with 24 teeth for framing and rough cuts, and a fine finish blade with 40 to 60 teeth for plywood and trim work. The arbor size must match your saw. Most are 5/8 of an inch, but some track saws and smaller saws use different sizes. A general-purpose blade and a finish blade is the minimum. If you cut a lot of different materials, add a dedicated metal cutting blade and a laminate blade.
Sharpening versus replacing?
Carbide tip circular saw blades can be resharpened several times before the carbide is consumed. A quality blade from Freud or Diablo is worth sharpening. A cheap blade with tiny carbide tips, just replace it. The cost of sharpening exceeds the replacement cost for low-end blades.
Flush cut blades. These are for the oscillating multi-tool.
Flush cut blades are designed to cut perfectly flat against a surface. Trimming door jams for flooring, cutting off protruding dowels, removing baseboard sections. The blade geometry has the cutting edge offset so the body of the blade rides flat. 2 flush cut blades in the inventory covers those jobs.
Carbide grit blades. What's the distinction from carbide tipped?
Carbide grit blades have tungsten carbide particles bonded to the entire cutting edge. It looks like sandpaper made of carbide. They abrade rather than cut. They're for materials that are too hard or abrasive for toothed blades. Cast iron, hardened steel, fiberglass, cement board, tile. They're slow, they generate heat, but they cut things nothing else will touch. 1 or 2 carbide grit blades for the oscillating tool covers the odd job. These are for removing the sharp edge left after cutting metal pipe or conduit. Some are cone-shaped rotary tool attachments. Some are specialized hand tools with a blade that scrapes the inside and outside of the cut edge. For a home inventory doing occasional metalwork, a simple deburring tool with replaceable blades is enough. The blades last a long time. A pack of 5 replacement deburring blades is a lifetime supply for most people.
Replacement pipe cutter wheels.
If you have a pipe cutter for copper or PVC, the cutting wheel is a hardened steel disc that eventually dulls. You'll know it's dull when it crushes the pipe rather than cutting it, or when it takes significantly more turns to get through. Replacement wheels are specific to the brand and model of pipe cutter. Buy 1 or 2 when you buy the tool, and you'll probably never need to buy more. This is a buy with the tool item, not a general inventory item.
Snips and shear blades. Replacement blades where applicable.
Most tin snips and aviation snips are not designed for blade replacement. They're sharpened as an assembly and replaced as a unit. Some high-end cable cutters and flush cutters have replaceable blades, but for general home inventory, this is a non-category. If you wear out a pair of snips, you replace the tool. The exception is some ratcheting PVC cutters and cable cutters that take replacement blade cartridges. Check your specific tool.
Let's talk about spotting a dull or damaged blade, because this is where people push too far.
The signs are consistent across almost every blade type. Increased cutting force, you're pushing harder than when the blade was new. Burning smell or visible smoke on wood cuts, that's friction from a dull blade. Discoloration on the blade, blue or straw-colored steel means the blade overheated and lost its temper. Chipped or missing teeth. A cut line that wanders off the mark. Excessive vibration or chattering. For abrasive discs, glazing. The disc surface looks shiny and won't cut, means it's worn out or the wrong disc for the material.
The safety risk of pushing a dull blade?
A dull blade makes you apply more force. More force means less control. Less control means the blade is more likely to bind, kick back, or slip out of the cut. That's how people get hurt. The blade is the cheapest part of the operation. If it's dull, replace it.
Storage and labeling.
Blades need to be protected from moisture and from each other. Tossing a dozen jigsaw blades loose in a drawer means they bang against each other, dulling the teeth before they ever touch material. Utility blades should stay in their dispenser pack. Recipe and jigsaw blades can go in a divided organizer, the plastic cases with compartments. Circular saw blades should hang on a hook or sit in a dedicated case so the teeth don't contact anything. Grinder discs need to be stored flat, away from moisture, and ideally in their original packaging with the expiration date visible. A paint pen on the blade body for recipe and jigsaw blades. Write the material it's for if it's not obvious from the tooth pattern. For grinder discs, keep them in labeled pouches or compartments. The goal is that when you're under a sink cabinet with a multi-tool in one hand, you can reach into the organizer and grab the right blade without squinting at tiny laser-etched markings. Dull utility blades and snap-off segments go into a blade disposal container, a rigid plastic or metal box with a slot in the top. When it's full, tape it shut and label it sharps before it goes in the trash. Never toss loose blades in a garbage bag. That's how sanitation workers and anyone handling the bag gets cut. For saw blades and discs, wrap them in cardboard and tape before disposal. Grinder discs that are cracked or expired, snap them in half first so no one pulls them out of the trash and uses them.
That's grim but responsible.
It's basic shop safety. Now let's build the actual inventories. Daniel asks for a compact inventory, a deep inventory, the 10 rescue blades, bulk items, brand-only items, and the checklist.
Compact cutting consumables inventory.
50 standard utility blades, 20 heavy-duty snap-off blades, 5 hook blades, 10 scraper blades, 5 fine-tooth hacksaw blades for metal, 10 junior hacksaw blades, a 20-piece jigsaw blade assortment kit from Bosch or DeWalt. If you own a recipe saw, 5 demolition blades and 3 metal cutting blades. If you own an oscillating multi-tool, 5 bimetal blades, 2 flush cut blades, 1 scraper blade, 1 carbide blade. If you own a rotary tool, 20 reinforced cutting discs. If you own an angle grinder, 5 metal cutting discs from a reputable brand, 1 diamond tile blade. That covers the vast majority of home projects.
The deep inventory.
Double the utility and snap-off blades. Add dedicated jigsaw blades, 5 wood, 3 clean cut wood, 3 reverse tooth laminate, 3 metal, 3 plastic, 3 scroll cut. Recipe saw, add 5 fine wood blades and 2 carbide demolition blades for nail embedded wood. Multi-tool, add 3 carbide blades, 2 grout removal blades, 3 metal cutting blades, and a sanding pad assortment. Rotary tool, add diamond disc set and a pack of heavy duty cutoff wheels. Angle grinder, add a segmented diamond masonry blade, a grinding disc, and a flap disc, though flap discs are tier 7. Circular saw, add a general purpose blade and a finish blade if you own the saw. Pipe cutter wheels, 1 spare for each cutter you own. Deburring blades, 5.
The 10 blades most likely to rescue a stalled project.
1. A sharp utility blade when you're fighting dull ones. 2. A bimetal oscillating blade for the cut, nothing else can reach. 3. A metal jigsaw blade when you need to cut a bolt in place. 4. A carbide grit oscillating blade for hardened material. 5. A fine-tooth hacksaw blade when the old one is skating on the metal. 6. A flush cut blade for trimming door jams. 7. A diamond grinder disc for tile that a snapped cutter won't handle. 8. A reverse tooth jigsaw blade for laminate that keeps splintering. 9. A demolition recipe blade for the thing that needs to come out now. 10. A snap-off blade with a fresh tip for the precision cut you're about to ruin with a dull utility knife. Standard utility blades, buy 100. Snap-off blades, buy 20 to 30. Hacksaw blades, buy 10. Junior hacksaw blades, buy 20. Reinforced rotary cutting discs, buy 20 to 30. These are the items you'll reach for constantly, and the unit cost in bulk is so low there's no reason to run out.
Brand-only items.
Angle grinder cutting discs. Ferd, Norton, 3M, Walter, or a known power tool brand. Diamond blades, same tier of manufacturer. Rotary tool cutting discs, Dremel or equivalent. Jigsaw blades, Bosch, DeWalt, or Makita. Recip blades, Diablo, Lennox, or Milwaukee. These are the categories where metallurgy and bond quality directly affect safety and performance. The savings from a marketplace no-name disc are not worth the risk of it coming apart at 12,000 RPM.
Categories where marketplace quality is normally adequate.
Utility blades from mid-tier brands. They dull faster, but they're not dangerous. Snap-off blades from Japanese or Korean OEMs that aren't Olfa. Perfectly fine. Scraper blades. Hard to get wrong. Junior hacksaw blades. Low consequence if they dull quickly. Hook blades. You use them so rarely that even a cheap one gets the job done.
Where low quality causes frustration rather than danger.
Cheap jigsaw blades that wander off the cut line. Cheap recip blades that go dull after 3 cuts in pine. Cheap oscillating blades that vibrate because the mount is slightly off spec. These won't hurt you, but they'll ruin your workpiece and your afternoon. The cost of the material you're cutting usually exceeds the savings on the blade.
Quick checklist for matching blade, material, and tool.
Step 1. Identify the material. Wood, metal, plastic, laminate, masonry, or composite. Step 2. Choose the blade type designed for that material, not the one already in the tool. Step 3. Check the tooth pitch. Fine for thin and hard, coarse for thick and soft. Step 4. Verify the mounting system matches your tool. Step 5. Check the blade's rated speed exceeds the tool's maximum RPM. Step 6. Inspect the blade for damage before installing. Step 7. Secure the workpiece close to the cut. Step 8. Let the blade cut. Don't force it. If you're pushing hard, something is wrong.
The common mistakes one more time.
Using a wood blade on metal destroys the blade and possibly the workpiece. Too coarse a blade on thin sheet metal catches in tears. Running plastic cuts too fast melts the material. Buying blades for the wrong mounting system means they don't fit at all. Keeping damaged discs because they still look usable is gambling with a trip to the emergency room. Using a demolition blade where a clean finish is required means you'll spend more time sanding than you saved cutting. Excessive force overheats the blade and loses control. Failing to support the workpiece close to the cut causes vibration, binding, and kickback.
That's cutting consumables. Tier 7 is abrasives and surface preparation, which is a whole other universe.
Sandpaper alone could fill an episode, but that's for next time.
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In antiquity, natural philosophers on the island of Mauritius believed that tardigrades were the larval form of a species of freshwater pearl mussel, and that their legendary indestructibility was proof they were actually tiny stones that had briefly come to life. This theory was considered settled science for nearly 3 centuries.
Stones that briefly came to life. That's one way to explain a tardigrade.
I have so many questions, and I know none of them have answers.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, tell someone who is still using the blade that came in the tool. Find us at myweirdprompts.com.
New episodes every week. Don't run your blades dull.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts untrue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.